Any dollar?
Pat McCracken, Johnny, Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Well, greetings, Master.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Oh, just being polite when I see a nice frat commission about to come my way.
You know something? You clear this one up for me, and maybe it could involve a sizable commission.
Ah, the sound of sweet music wafts to my ears. Who, what, when, where, and why, Pat?
Only answer two of them, Johnny.
All right, what?
What and where? Ever hear of the Rochemont necklace?
I never.
Well, you should have. But come on over to my office. I'll tell you about it.
Missing?
That's right, missing.
From where?
I'll tell you about it.
Oh, it's a worth. I mean, unless it's pretty valuable,
what's
there's
the
no
difference?
Sense.
Your commission may be a sizable one.
How much, Pat?
Come on over.
How much? Well?
Okay. The necklace is insured for exactly $321,000.
What?
That's right, $321,400.
Okay, baby. I'm on my ever-loving way.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investor.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the super salesman matter. As always, the promise of a big commission did sound like sweet music to me. So, expense account item one is a buck and a quarter for a cab to the office of Universal Adjustment in the Spear Building down on the square where Pat was waiting for me.
Oh, come in. Sit down and listen, Johnny.
Sure, Pat. Right ahead.
Well, the Rochemont necklace, part of some old crown jewels or something, came over from Paris a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
The whole collection was worth a couple of $1 million. Now, various parts of it were sold to various people in various parts of the country, but the ruby and diamond necklace went to Mrs. Liza Rochemont. Now, she's a wealthy widow living out on the edge of town.
Mm-hmm.
Except when she was away in Florida, California, Europe, wherever, when she put it in a vault at the bank, she kept it in a wall safe at her home, a safe to which she alone has the combination, and nobody's ever broken into it.
You're sure of that?
I'm sure. There's an automatic device that would show it.
Well, did she ever wear that priceless hunk of jewelry?
Oh, quite often. Which is why she often had it cleaned and the stones checked in the setting.
Come on.
So a couple of days ago, she handed it over to that jeweler in the new building just across the square there. Hey, you see the shop?
Parker?
Mm-hmm. Clayton Parker.
Seems to me she'd pick one of the big ones, one of the old-time firms, or send it down to New York, to Tiffany's, or Cartier, or someone like that. After all,
well,
the thing
that's
is...
exactly what her insurance man, Tim Pringle, you know him, Surety Mutual?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, Tim told her this morning when he found out what's happened.
What's happened?
Clayton Parker called her up in the middle of the night and then barged in on her looking like he'd seen a ghost or two. He laid the necklace in her lap and promptly fainted away.
Parker? And
when he came to, with the help of a little brandy, he shakily told her that her necklace, instead of the genuine article worth over 300 G's, was paste, was a fake.
You are kidding.
No. She took it over to Wilson Brothers, her regular jeweler. They told her Parker was right, so she fainted.
Well, now, look.
Well, when she came to, she notified Tim Pringle. He notified me. I called you. That is, after I took time out for a little thinking about it.
Yeah?
A Universal Adjustment Bureau serves a lot of companies.
I know.
All over the country.
I know.
We get reports on every client company's problem.
So?
Well, something rang a bell. I went through the files. Johnny, this very same kind of thing happened back in 56 out in Chicago. Down in Philadelphia, that was in 59.
Huh?
And in each case, the jeweler who discovered the switch answered the description of Mr. Clayton W. Parker.
Oh, oh, oh. Has anybody been through Parker's shop?
Well, now, Johnny, we've got a little problem there.
Problem? Like what?
Well, if Tim Pringle openly sicks the police or even a private investigator on Parker.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Now, if Tim were to pull a boo-boo, make a wrong charge against his own new client...
So, what am I supposed to do? Bust into Parker's shop some dark night? Blow his safe, maybe?
Well, Johnny, He does not have a burglar alarm in that little shop of his, nor on the safe inside.
So what?
And it is easily accessible from a dark alley out in the back.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, wait a minute.
Well?
Are you asking me? Are you suggesting
of course
I...
not, Johnny. I'm not asking a thing. What kind of a company do you think this is?
Well
don't be ridiculous. However, if somebody were to find the genuine necklace in Parker's safe, someone that is unknown to us,
What did you say your name is?
I didn't. And yours? What's it to you? Okay. Okay.
Item two, $100 to a man named Fingers J. Mc... But let's leave his last name out of this. I may have use for his delicate touch again sometime. Well, getting into the back of Parker's store that night was a cinch. And once inside, we could see why he didn't bother with much protection. His stock was small and most of it was novelty stuff. And he must have been a super salesman to get hold of Mrs. Rochemont's valuable necklace. If it was the real one that he took in for cleaning. While Fingers worked on the old-fashioned safe, I went over the store with a fine-tooth comb, wearing gloves, of course. No sign of the necklace anywhere, including the safe. So I helped Fingers out of the back window we'd opened, sent him on his way, made a careful check to be sure the place looked the same as it had before, then proceeded to hoist myself out of the window. Now, let's see if I can get this closed again.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Yeah. And this'll keep you here.
Oh.
Help! Police! Police! Help!
Listen carefully. Get the picture. Timber, needed for thousands upon thousands of new houses, is needlessly destroyed. Watersheds supplying vitally needed water for industry and life itself are laid waste. Wildlife is cruelly killed, their habitats ruined for many years to come. Sorely needed outdoor recreational areas are burned black. Homes are leveled to the ground and human lives destroyed. And what causes this terrible destruction, this tragic loss? It can be as tiny a thing as one paper match. 90% of our forest fires are caused by people. People who are careless for just one fatal instant with their cigarettes, matches, campfires. Every American, every one of us, man, woman, or child, is a potential firebug. It takes only a moment's carelessness or thoughtlessness to set fire loose in the forest. Let's all observe the simple common sense rules of forest fire protection. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
How I managed to get back up on my feet and out of that alley before the police arrived, I'm not quite sure. But I somehow did. I ran a couple of blocks through some other alleys and then, playing drunk, which wasn't hard after that club in the head, I grabbed a taxi. That's item three, a buck and a half. I went back to my apartment, had a couple of stiff drinks, a couple of aspirins, and soaked my aching head with a wet towel. And after a good night's rest, I was all set to call Pat McCracken and tell him to go jump into the nearest lake. Until I remembered that officially he'd had nothing to do with all this. And then I did some thinking. If what Pat had told me was true, only two people could possibly have substituted a phony for the Rochemont necklace. The wealthy Mrs. Rochemont herself, of course. This new small-time jeweler, this Clayton Parker. But it wasn't in the store. So maybe hidden around his home someplace. Well, I could try. In the meantime, hope he hadn't recognized me in that alley. No doubt he'd be in a shop this morning. And if he was married. Expense account item four, $5 for a handful of business cards at the shop of a small printer. Item five, $79.95 for a vacuum cleaner, one of the tank-type jobs with all the accessories. And I managed to grab a stack of literature on it. Item six, $2.25 at a pawn shop for a beat-up fiber suitcase. The business cards went into my pocket. The vacuum cleaner went into the back seat of my car, which luckily was badly in need of a wash job, but kind of poorly. The accessories and literature went into the suitcase, then into the back also. Then I crossed my fingers and took off.
Did you see that sign over the doorbell? No salesman, a solicitor.
Oh, well, of course.
Well.
But I came in answer to the coupon you mailed asking for more information in the free demonstration.
Coupon?
Oh, yeah. My name is, here's my card.
Now, look.
No obligation to buy, you know. None whatsoever. Yeah, ma'am.
Look, this is some kind of... James Dakin, sales engineer. And a national vacuum cleaner service.
Yes, ma'am.
What the sales engineer?
you really want to know?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's just a glorified name for an ordinary salesman.
Well, you're a pretty glorified kind of guy to have to be going around pounding doorbells, Jimmy.
Well, I'm going to make a living.
Yes, you do all right, too. A beautiful, lonesome, long-suffering housewife. See a good-looking guy like you at the door and... pop off to work somewhere, you'll probably do all right.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You should see some of those lovely, lonely housewives you're talking about. No makeup, hair still up in curlers, a pair of dirty bedroom slippers chewed up by the family pet.
What?
Yeah, and all decked out in a sloppy house coat with an old apron full of soap suds from the breakfast dishes.
Oh, what a picture.
Yeah, and maybe even kind of hung over from the night before.
You mean that's what you usually run into?
Oh, run away from.
Oh, you're cute, Jimmy.
And that's why it's such a relief to be met by somebody like you. I mean,
Well?
I'm sorry. I brought the cleaner around to give you the demonstration you asked for when you sent in the coupon.
Are you kidding, Jimmy? I didn't send in any coupon.
Oh, but you must have. Well, would you like me to go get my list out of the car?
Uh-uh.
Oh, because if you hadn't sent in a coupon, I wouldn't...
And I hate to do you out of permission. And I sure don't need to buy another vacuum. I'm sorry. Good luck.
But I wasn't going to send you one.
What?
Oh, no. No. They're sold only in the stores. I simply get paid for the free home demonstration.
Oh?
So just let me come in and show you how it works, huh? Then you can fill out the card saying you have had a demonstration and... Listen, Mr. Parker.
Yeah, my name's Gloria.
Well, look, things have been kind of tough, and if I don't fill my quota this week... Well, look, I'll do the whole house for you, and no obligation. No obligation whatsoever. Well, Mrs. Parker...
Oh, look, Jimmy, if my husband should ever know that he doesn't like people in here while he's out, but... Well... Come on in.
Oh,
and after all, if you have to work so hard, maybe you could... Here's a little drink. None.
Just to make the demonstration.
Sure. Come on in.
Oh, now just a minute. I'm a man of high principles. I had a job to do. Which is to say that as soon as I got inside, I unpacked the equipment, hooked it up, and went to work vacuum cleaning the whole house. And I'll tell you this, I should have studied the directions a little more carefully before trying this crazy stunt, or maybe made a few practice swings through my own apartment. Now, modern appliances notwithstanding, I now have a great deal of sympathy for the American housewife. I mean, that living room was huge, and so was the dining room. But I didn't want to be obvious by heading into the study first. The study where her husband's desk would be and where, if I were lucky... You gotta finish the job. I promised I'd clean the whole place and I'll do it. Why don't you just sit down, relax, and read a book or something?
What about that little drink I promised you? We could have it right here in the den.
Hey, look, I know. While you're f***ing out the bottle and some ice and soda. Yes, this'll be fine.
Suits me, too. See? We have the same taste.
Yeah, well, while you're getting it, I'll finish up the study here. Then we can sit down and relax a minute before I start.
Relax, huh?
What? What did you say?
Nothing. Hmm? Well, I'll go get the drink.
Yeah. Still keeping the vacuum cleaner going, I made a dive for the desk. Top drawer and two on the side had only the usual junk in them. But the third one down had a small lock on it. By stepping on the handle, I was able to spring it. And there inside, in a small black metal box. Yeah, the Rochemont necklace. And even my untrained eyes told me this was no fake. But I couldn't very well leave it there. And what if Gloria Parker knew about them? What if she suspected that my loud job was just an excuse? Phone right there in the desk nearly scared me of a year's room. Only phone. Oh, no, it quit in mid-ring. Yeah, she must have picked up an extension. And that gave me time to close the drawer again and finish up my cleaning job before she came back into the study. But when she did, instead of a couple of drinks in her hand, she carried one of those interesting little devices made out of blued steel.
Okay, baby, that's enough.
Huh?
That's right. Now, why don't you just put up your hands over your head? That's right.
You one of those people who has newsmen around the moon all the time, always in the direction of developments of the day. Scared you a practical understanding of the value listeners put upon their services. They know you rely on them for accuracy at all times. And they have a first-hand appreciation of the importance of clarity and brevity as well. That all of these standards are kept in mind by our highly skilled, highly experienced men. The busier you are, the more you'll appreciate the efforts of our CBS News staff. These men offer you a direct link with history day by day. But more than that, they do their job with full regard for your busy schedule. For accuracy, brevity, and clarity in news reports. For news at frequent intervals at the most important time. Every day. Now, Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the Super Salesman Matter.
Pretty smart, huh? Making like a cleaner salesman to get in here.
Now, why don't you put that thing down?
Oh, no. But you should have been smarter. Oh, no, Johnny, that was Clayton, my husband. He thought you might come here.
You, Johnny, Mrs. Parker.
That's right. Johnny Dollar, the famous dick. You stupid. You think Clay didn't recognize me from the store last night?
Oh? Then why didn't the police pick me up this morning?
You police find out you were checking on him, they might think he had something to do with that phony necklace that...
That what, Mrs. Parker?
You know, that rich Mrs. Rochemont asked him to get the phone. You gonna prove otherwise?
Maybe.
Oh, no. Got some crazy ideas. Well, I don't think anybody's gonna hear him. Because when Clay gets...
Ideas, son.
What?
What if I have some proof?
Any... Oh, Stella. You've got no proof of anything.
All right, now listen.
Stella, you think I'm... You... My record.
Gloria...
Shut up! wings. Maybe you'd better pray.
Good work, Glory.
Sure, Case. Cubs are leading in the sheep to the slaughter.
Then why'd you let him in here in the first place? Even if you didn't know who he was.
Are you kidding?
What do you mean, Dollar?
Well, if you could have seen the open-arm welcome I got and the strength of batting my nice brown eyes at her a couple of times.
What?
Sure. You don't keep very close tabs on her when you're out of the house, do you, Parker?
Don't listen to him, Clay. He's lying. He's trying to trick you, make you drop your guard.
That's right.
Won't work, Dollar.
Yeah. Well, okay, I tried. So, now you can call in the police to pick me up.
The police? Don't make me laugh. Why do you think I didn't call them in last night? You're on this case.
You sure of that?
You trying to tell me they'd go for breaking and entering my shop? They or that insurance company of yours? In the hopes that maybe you'd find that pretty little necklace? Yeah, I see.
So you admit that you substituted Tony?
Well, keep that gun on him, Glory, while I make sure it's still okay.
Don't worry. He doesn't have a chance before. Even he didn't where to look. Up until you called, I kept him busy. I kept the great John busy pushing a vacuum.
No! It isn't here! All right, Dollar. Give me the gun, Glory.
Sure.
Now frisk him.
Yeah, sure. Not on him.
Is anybody else in this house?
No, Clay. And I only left him alone in this room for...
Then. And shoot him down if he makes one move.
Worry.
He turned the room upside down, looked in and around, even outside the windows. He made me strip to my shorts and went through every inch of my clothes.
Glory, are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, then, if I'll leave you two to figure out what might have happened.
Dollar, you don't leave this room alive.
What? Police!
Yeah, well, they don't get...
Only Pat. Why?
Well, when you didn't report to me that you'd found that thing in his well, in were last night.
Please go on.
Yes. Well, when I saw Parker from my office window, I saw him tear out of a shop a few minutes ago and burn rubber heading out in this direction. Obvious. So.
So thanks. Yeah, thanks, Pat. And would you like to see the necklace somewhere inside this vacuum cleaner I didn't sell? Parker is dead. His wife yammered all over the place in the hope of getting off easy. Optimist. So that's that. Expense account total $189.95. Oh, and by all means, don't forget my commission over $320,000. Yours truly... $20.